Hey everybody, I'm Lisa and I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. Thanks for having me. Change my view here. So I can see everybody. Kelsey, welcome. So glad you're here. Yeah, it's coming into OA is not an easy feat. It's like that is a true surrender. And my disease manifests in many different ways. I found out as I stayed here and worked the steps of this program, and sat in lots of meetings and listened to other people. What's happening here? Sorry. I'll try and change my screen. Oh, it's that. So I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic. I started throwing up probably in my teenage years. It wasn't about weight or trying to control. It started out, well, I think it had to do with, getting comfort from eating, but then not liking the way I felt after I ate and wanting to empty that myself from that. I also found out that I didn't know this when it was happening, but throwing up every day took me out of my life. You know what I mean? I wasn't present. It just numbed me in a way that I really needed. And I did not like how I felt. I did not like how I thought. I did not like how I saw myself. I grew up in an alcoholic home. Both my parents were active alcohol. I was literally born into alcoholism, raging alcoholism, and it's very generational throughout my family on both sides. So there's a lot of illness, a lot of mental illness in my family. And that's what I grew up in. There was nobody looking out for us. My parents, my father was, out drinking at the bars. My mom was at home angry about it. There was the trickle down of that anger, and she lashed out at us quite a bit. She also threw us into the car sometimes to go out looking for my dad to get him to come home. Their marriage lasted till I was 8 years old, and then they separated. We went to live with my mother, and her drinking took off, and it was like the first time she was on her own, right? She went from her parents' house to, living with my father. So this was her first time on her own, and she just, she was out at the bars drinking, losing jobs. We were on welfare. I remember people bringing boxes of food to our door. We lived in, a rundown apartment. The front door didn't lock. Strangers came in. My mom brought strange men home at night. I mean, it was just, there was nobody looking out for us, right? It was my two sisters and my little brother and me. And it was quite chaotic. I remember one weekend my father came to pick us up for the weekend, and he just never brought us back. And he, I found out many years later, like in the last 5 or 10 years, I found out that it was discussed amongst the adults that like my dad was going to take us, but nobody talked to us about it. Nobody. It just happened. And apparently my aunts and uncles talked to my father, thinking he was this is my mother's story, that he was the better option, and they took us from her. And they took her out to dinner while my dad took us. It was like this whole scandal. But later my uncle told me that the truth was my dad didn't want to pay child support, which sounds, that actually I think is the true story. That sounds like my father. We thought we grew up in poverty. This is the funniest thing. My sister and I were at dinner with my dad. My dad's sober a long time now. He's got 38 years of sobriety, and my sister and I were at dinner with him one night, and we were talking about how we grew up in poverty, and my dad was like, "No, we didn't." He was like, "I made plenty of money." He was like, "I was just spending it all on myself." And we were like, "Oh, that's nice." We like lived in the house in the neighborhood on the block that had like broken windows, overgrown weeds. Like we were the alcoholic home in this really lovely manicured, Granada Hills neighborhood. And yeah, it was crazy. So my middle sister was she was a young blossoming alcoholic, and she was running around, and I chased her a lot. I was trying to bring her home and save her. And when she left home for the last time, I think I was around 15. That's when my bulimia kind of took off. And because she was my focus for a long time. And then when that focus was taken away, I had all I was left with was me. And so couldn't have that. So I heard some girls talking about throwing up their food at school or something. And I don't know. I was like, oh, okay. So one day I was with my boyfriend at the time, and we'd had like, a sexual encounter, and we'd had lunch prior. And for some reason I felt sick to my stomach, so I just went in the bathroom and made myself throw up. And that was the magic elixir. And it became the thing that I started to do for many, many years. Into my 40s, I was eating and throwing up my food. I mean, that when I think about that now, I turned 60. Well, I'm going to be 61 in January, so I'm going to be 61. That 60 went by quick, let me tell you. Jesus. But yeah, so I threw up that time, and yeah, it just took me out of self. But yeah, I threw up into my 40s, and I look back on that and I think, wow, like that's pretty old to be doing a behavior like that. And I mean, I'm in the beverage program. I had been sober 11 years before I got abstinent in OA. I really think that my eating disorder helped me stay sober. I really do. Like being in reality, I was a single mother. And I drank and used through my pregnancy, and had a lot of guilt and shame and remorse over that. And life was challenging. Like being a single mother was challenging. I didn't have a lot of help from anybody, really. It was just me. And so I really think that my bulimia, helped me stay sober. It kept me numb enough long enough until I wanted to really live. And I remember I got scared. I started to be afraid that my eating disorder was going to kill me. And so I finally started talking about it. And I remember my AA sponsor at the time said, "Lisanne, if you don't stop throwing up, I'm going to send you to OA, and I'm going to make you call Leslie E." And I was like, oh, "Leslie E, no." 'Cause she's like this really she was my sponsor for many, many years when I actually got abstinent, but with that threat, I stopped throwing up for 2 years without OA, without any help. Like I just stopped because I did not want to call Leslie E. And what happened was, when I stopped throwing up, the other manifestations of my disease bubbled up. And what that looked like for me was complete insanity, obsession of the mind, trying to figure out how to eat, what should I eat? What shouldn't I eat? The number on the scale, how big my body was, how little my body, does it fit? Does it not fit? Like I just was insane. Working out, not working out, like the methods in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I was doing it with like food and obsession, and like it was I it like that part of my disease was way, way crazier than the bulimia. When I was throwing up, I didn't even think it was a thing. Like it's just what I did. I didn't have shame about it, nothing. But like when I stopped, I was a lunatic and really angry because I couldn't figure it out, obviously. And so I went through like dieting, all kinds of diets, like trying to find the right diet, Sugar Busters, Carb Addicts, like these are all the diets that were around in the 90s. And cabbage soup. I mean, I tried everything, whatever I could find. And some of them worked for periods of time, but event, inevitably the day comes where I pick up food again, right? And then I'm crazy. So what happened was I started to throw up again because the dieting wasn't working and the crazy trying to figure it out. And I was back in that insanity. But this time, when I started throwing up again, It was more, it like the madness had set in. And so I would go into the market and I would get the cart and I would go down the aisles and I would look for it, whatever it was. Like there had to be something that was going to do it for me. And I would be looking and looking and I'd be throwing things in my cart. Like maybe that's it, maybe that's it, maybe that. And then I'd take it all home and then I'd start ripping bags open and eating and being like, nope, that's not it. That's not it. And it just wasn't there. It just wasn't there. There is nothing worse than that not being to fix it anymore, right? It was so awful. I remember too, this one night, this is a great, I remember thinking at the time that this was going to be a great story for OA. My son and I, and by the way, as I'm telling you this story about all that madness, I'm a single mother. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Not present for my kid, right? And modeling really bad behavior for him. But we went through Burger King drive-through and I got like a Whopper meal and whatever I got. And I got home and I opened the bag and, sent my son off to do his thing. I was going to do my thing. And it was a chicken Whopper, not a regular. And I lost my mind. And I literally got back in my car and like, screech through the streets back to the Burger King to go back through, and and of course as soon as I got up to the drive-through thing, I was like, nice as pie, right? Just sweet as could be. You messed up my order. But I was a lunatic. I like got in my car and was like raging, screaming, like blood-curdling, like exorcist voice. That's what I was really, really crazy. That's what it looked like for me. That's what it was like when I was in my disease. And so I finally landed in OA. I finally called that lady Leslie E. I surrendered because the bulimia wasn't working anymore, clearly. There was nothing, there was no food on the planet that was going to fix it for me. There was, it just was not gonna, it was over. I was done. It was done. And I needed help. And my first couple of years in this program, I was a really angry person. I look back on journals that I had at the time, and I swear to God, it looks like a serial killer wrote it. It's just like crazy. And the language I'm using is like, I hate myself. I loathe my body. I'm disgusting. I'm a fat, disgusting pig. Why does my boyfriend want to touch me? He's disgusting. I was just like crazy. And I stayed here and I slowly, it was, I mean, it felt, it was really slow. Slowly I started to surrender to this program and to the tools. So my first surrender, and it took a while because I kept trying to figure it out for a while. I wanted to be able to eat sugar and not have the consequences. So I ate sugar free, and I don't know if any of you have ever done that, but if you eat sugar free things, it's not good. It's not good for the body. It does horrible things, especially if you eat too much. It's anyway, and I'm not talking about weight. But anyway, so I kept trying to figure it out. I finally surrendered to a food plan. My first food plan was out of the Dignity of Choice pamphlet that we have. That's now part of, I think, our newcomer packet, our newcomer pamphlet. And I picked one of the, I think I picked like the low carb, whatever one. And I just started eating that I just surrendered to that food plan. That was my first surrender. And I found some peace. It was shocking. Like I wasn't obsessing anymore because I was just doing that thing and then living my life in between. It was a miracle, right? And then at one point I met a man in recovery and I married him. All the while, like my body was screaming, no, you know what I mean? I don't know if any of you have ever ignored I didn't learn how to trust my instincts, right? I never learned that. So my body was screaming, don't do this. And I could not do it. So I married this guy. We moved to Florida. It was crazy, volatile. And mind you, again, I'm dragging my son through this, all of this with me. We moved to Florida. The one good thing that came out of that, the marriage didn't last a year. I came back within a year. I was back. We moved on in July of 2005, and I landed back home on June 6, 06. And so it wasn't even a full year that I was gone. And but what happened was when I got out there, I started throwing up again. And I threw up for like, I don't know, 5 or 7 months or something. And then I surrendered again. I went to an OA meeting and I went met a woman there. And this woman reminded me of home. She worked a really good program. And so I surrendered myself to her, and she taught me how to eat in a way that really worked for me. And so that's the food plan that I basically follow now with some little mild adjustments. I feel like over the years, my food has changed quite a bit. Sometimes I've been very structured, but too much structure doesn't work because look, the day will come where I go outside the lines and then I'm a piece of shit again, right? So I try and wear it kind of like a loose garment. We say that in this program, but I'm pretty structured with my food. I do weigh and measure most of the time. The biggest gifts of this program for me, I think the number one gift of this program is that I don't loathe myself anymore. That is a huge, I don't loathe myself and I don't loathe my body. I hated myself for a long time, and I don't feel that way anymore. I think another gift of this program is that my relationship with food has changed in a way that's really incredible. I don't obsess. I basically have food neutrality. There are certain things I abstain from. Sugar is a very tricky thing. If I were to say anything about if I, you know, that that something that creates the phenomenon of craving sugar would be that thing. And the other thing is just the fellowship that we have here. What a gift, you guys. Like, it's the day after a major food holiday. Here we all are sitting in a room of OA. We all survived. We all made it. I don't know if you were with your family. I was with mine. Holy hell. And I didn't scream at anybody. I mean, my mom brought up something political and I shut her down really quick. Nope, we're not talking about that today. Nope. I said nope like that. I literally said it like that. Everybody was just kind of looking at me. I'm like, no, we're not going there. So I don't do it perfectly, but I am very entertaining, I think, to everybody around me, if at the very least. I have a really good life today, you guys. I have a really good life. I went from that home. I was homeless at the end of my drinking, living in a van with my son. And I've gone from that woman to a homeowner in Culver City. Like, I own my own condo here. Now, how did that happen? I'm an uneducated, I didn't go to college. I'm an assistant, in a real estate company. I don't, but somehow the tools of the programs that I'm in have taught me how to be an upstanding, tax paying, semi sane. I need a lot of help. I'm in three programs. I have three sponsors. I always say I have a team of experts working around the clock just to help me stay this much sanity. But I do have an incredible life, and my son is doing well today. We just spent yesterday together. He came over and he baked brownies from scratch for our family for Thanksgiving yesterday, and it was really sweet that he did that. And I'm a really lucky lady. I'm very grateful for OA. It's changed my life. Kelsey, I hope you stay if you need to be here. I know you're questioning, but I can put my number in the chat and send you that information for those meetings. And yeah, thanks for having me, you guys.